Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Connell McShane from News Nations joining us now. You got your scarf and hat. Are you guys going to be indoors or outdoors? Is it clear? We're getting mixed reports this morning about where the inauguration is going to be held on Monday, Connell.
We don't know for sure. I mean, we're seeing the same reports that it looks like it might move indoors for the swearing-in, at least inside the Capitol Rotunda, as opposed to the west front of the Capitol. So I guess that would be the first time since 85, Reagan's reelection. I looked up the temperature that day. The air temperature was like 7 degrees. I think it's supposed to be in the 20s. They have the polar vortex moving in Monday in Washington. So I don't know. It looks like we're going to be inside. I was supposed to do my show, I think, from the White House, the North Lawn location, which would be still outside. So, yeah, I'm not going down there without a scarf, hat, turtleneck, the whole thing.
Wherever.
We'll see.
News Nation's going to broadcast from D.C. all day, right?
Yeah. I mean, Blake Berman starting it off at like 9 in the morning, and then we have special coverage that Chris, Elizabeth, and Leland, Cuomo, Vargas, Vittert are anchoring along with Chris Starwalt, who's our political editor and hosts the Sunday show. They're going to be on from like 11 to 3 Eastern, and then I'll do my show from 3 to 5. I'll be on with them, too, a little bit to do some reporting, like I said, probably from the White House or over by the parade route. And then we'll see if there is a parade. That's the other question. You know, the outdoor, obviously thousands of people would be going to watch the swearing in, but then there's usually the parade one end of Pennsylvania Avenue to the other, and the reviewing stand and the whole thing. So I guess all of that's in flux right now. We're not sure how they're going to handle it. So
I'm disappointed if, as a nation, we cannot endure 20 degree temperatures and a little breeze. Listen, America, if we're going to buy Greenland, I got news for you. We need to live with colder temperatures.
I knew a guy from Chicago wouldn't be impressed by this cancellation if it happens. There's going to be no sympathy from Chicago on this.
Oh man, it's just inched up into the 20s, and we're all wearing short sleeves here.
Right.
We're going to get a blast of cold air here pretty soon. Talk to me about TikTok and what's going on here now. What do you expect happens next?
It's going to be interesting to see how Trump handles it. So, first of all, the Supreme Court pretty much, as you probably know this morning, kind of okayed the ban or the shutdown, which was supposed to take effect on Sunday, according to the law. They upheld that law that would allow TikTok to be at least temporarily banned starting on Sunday, the day before Trump is inaugurated. I think there's a couple of things here. So, you know, number one, what does the ban actually mean? We think it means that you can't download TikTok on an app store or, you know, whatever phone you use. If you're using it somehow online on a web browser, probably wouldn't work in the U.S. There seems to be some question. I was looking into this earlier about whether TikTok would be able to kind of pull a fast one and shift some of its operations to like an overseas server so that if someone logged in the U.S. on an app that they already had the if they already had the app on their phone, maybe it would still work. I think that's unclear. But, you know, big picture, I think then the question becomes, what can Trump do? And it seems like he has limited options. He could try to just push again for a sale, which is what they really want. They want the app to be sold from the Chinese company that owns it to an American owner. Then it can keep operating. And otherwise, he could probably go to Congress, maybe try to get an extension under the law that was upheld by the Supreme Court. But it'll be interesting because and Trump just said a few minutes ago something to the effect of there'll be more to come on this. He said the Supreme Court decision was expected. Everyone must respect it. And my decision will be made in the not so distant future. Have to review the situation. Stay tuned! ! So we'll see.
He's got a big presence on X, run by his friend Elon Musk. He has his own platform. He has 14+ million users on TikTok as well. But I suppose if TikTok were shut down, that doesn't affect Donald Trump's voice or brand in any way. Elon Musk has not surfaced as a suitor. There hasn't been Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, who are the rich tech people in America. None of them have expressed an interest in buying it, huh?
No, the Musk thing was interesting. Bloomberg reported that the Chinese government might support a sale to Musk. But Musk, you know, he tweets or posts about just about everything under the sun. I don't think he's posted anything about this, so I'm not sure how you read into that. Frank McCourt was mentioned. Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank fame was mentioned as possibly putting together an offer. So We'll see. There'll probably be some interest. What's interesting about TikTok is because there's one school of thought that, you know, we'll just move on, use another app, use whether it's Chinese-owned or American-owned, we being the kind of general population, especially young people. But I guess in talking to people who know about this stuff or know more about it than I do, TikTok's algorithm, you know, is just, many people say, better than what you see on Instagram, which Meta owns, or even YouTube, and which has something called YouTube Shorts, which are kind of similar to what you see on TikTok. And so it is a loss, I guess, for the people who use it. I mean, and people, for all the jokes that it's kind of become the subject of, they use it for real business, and also for functionality. I mean, like, a lot of people get their news from TikTok, and the real news. You know, we have a big presence there on News Nation. If there's a video that kind of, quote-unquote, goes viral, I mean, you'll get millions and millions of views in a short amount of time because of the way the algorithm works. So it'll be interesting. I think in some way, shape, or form, TikTok probably still exists, but maybe not this Sunday. So we'll see.
What do you think of the threat of ByteDance and China?
So I have mixed feelings. I mean, I think it's real, number one. I think there's a real threat. Most of what that threat consists of now, and I do think this is important, is a potential threat. I've actually been to China three times as a reporter, and the third time, or maybe it was the second, was reporting on the Huawei situation where we spent some time, and that's the Chinese telecom company that was under similar pressure back 5-6 years ago. And we went there and interviewed their executives and the like, and everyone was saying, well, they're going to take your data. And I've been asking members of Congress about this as well. It's not 100% clear that any of what is most feared is really happening. But under the Chinese law, if this makes sense, it is clear that it could. And that's the fear, is that if the Chinese government wanted to come in and request that the the data, your data or mine and whatever that consists of, be handed over, under the law, TikTok and other companies that are owned by China would have to do it. So that's the fear. It's just this gray area that we don't know exactly what's going on.
Right. But what would you do with that? So then if you were Russia or China or Iran or North Korea and you wanted to mess with Americans, my expectation would be you having my IP address doesn't do you much good. But it would seem to me like they could force the platform to manipulate the algorithm so that stuff was pushed out that was favorable to China or whatever the agenda is of this third party actor. And that's the thing. We've seen how social media platforms can impact an election. Well, imagine if China were pulling the levers. Do you think that's the concern?
It is part of it, definitely, and it makes it easier, if you think about it, to do what they're already doing, not only China but Russia, because that's what they do by, you know, these the posts. Essentially, that's what happened in the last time that this became a big issue on Twitter, when it was still called Twitter, is that, you know, they create all these fake accounts and start posting and posting and posting about something so that the algorithm picks it up and pushes it out, and next thing you know, people think it's real, and people's behavior changes. It's always hard to kind of measure how much of an impact that really has, but there seems to be some measurable impact of it. It seems to be, you know, that's how people exist now. So it would make it a lot easier if they had direct access. You wouldn't have to go around so many ways and kind of create all these fake accounts if you had direct access right to the algorithm, which theoretically I guess they do. TikTok will tell you that they're not accessing it. So it is this kind of gray area. And then some other people that are free speech advocates here in the U.S. have brought up the point that, you know, some would U.S. tech companies be under pressure, and are they under pressure from the NSA and our other government agencies to do essentially the same thing? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I don't. You know, at first I thought it was absurd to suggest that TikTok was a threat to Americans, but I get it now. But it does then make one, I think, look suspiciously at domestic companies too, at Facebook, and particularly when you consider how cozy X is now to the Trump administration and vice versa. It makes you wonder how that platform can be used for political purposes domestically.
Yeah, it's hard to track and hard for people to put their finger on what's affecting what we see, how we feel about things. And algorithms are crazy. We may not understand them, but we're definitely affected by them. I mean, think about it. This conversation we're having, if my phone is hearing it, I'll probably get an Instagram ad about something you just said. You know, right? That's the way the world – it's crazy sometimes. And that, if you think about that in the nefarious ways that that can be used and just how it can affect the psyche of the country, I mean, that's a real thing. It's just a matter of how do you measure that and how do you regulate it? I mean, I don't think we really know. Yeah, I always get a kick out of some of these senators, like Ed Markey, no offense to Ed Markey, but some of the older senators going on. Do they really have a he was doing it yesterday, a sense of how all this works? I mean, maybe they do, but it's just, it doesn't seem, it seems like everyone's trying to regulate and legislate against something that they don't 100% understand themselves.
Here, if your devices are listening, I'm going to mess with your life now. Homeowners insurance. Homeowners insurance.
Right. I mean,
now you're
going to
get a bunch of stuff. There you go.
That's so right.
You can thank me later. Colin McShane, we will continue to watch and listen to you. Thanks for your insight today, my friend.
Appreciate it, John. Talk to you soon.